CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, I think your conception comes secondary to this. I reckon how many kids did Marvin Gaye conceive to this song?
Listen, Marvin Gaye is responsible for multiple births with just this one song alone. I mean, I don't know how many weeks this song spent on the charts, like in the top or at the top of the charts, but this was such a hit and it's still such a good song today.
I reckon, this alone could make you pregnant. If you look at like the DNA of some people, it'll literally just be the song. And this music video as well. This guy is just so smooth. He really is. He's just got so much going for him, did Marvin. Marvin's not with us, is he?
No. His father killed him. His father took him out.
And remember,
tragic story, huh?
His family was now trying to go after Robin Thicke and get money after the blurred line situation and.
Yeah.
But Marvin was, well, let's just say, I think love did go in his veins, right? So he had many, many a track, but a lot of them. Okay, because the Robin Thicke one, that was, of course, what's going on?
No.
No?
Well, no, Robin Thicke was Blurred Lines sampled from something.
No, it's Got to Give It Up.
Got to Give It Up. Okay, so yeah. There we go. There's some very straightforward terminology there. Marvin, Got to Give It Up.
Just give it up.
And then there was this. All right, you got to get the intro of this.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. Yeah.
So Marvin either loved kids or he just loved sex. One of the two. Probably both.
Oh, he probably had tons of it as well, because can you imagine he was Marvin Gaye in that era singing these songs? I mean, women must have been, just throwing themselves at him left, right, and center.
Imagine like Marvin Gaye would go on tour. That guy, he would be so exhausted after touring.
Yeah.
It's like, gee, Marvin, big performances. Like, yeah, look, I did four or five songs. But wow.
But the after party just really took it out of me.
And the guy that had to put his penis on ice for like a month and be in the physio.
Do you think he listened to his own songs?
Yeah, because they'd be playing in the background where he was making all this love.
Yeah.
So, like, Marvin would walk into a room, and I think in his mind, this would always be playing.
Yeah.
And women would be throwing... I think he was the original guy that had to walk out with a tennis bat. Just slap back. The guy had a backhand like Federer back in the day for all the women that were going at him. He was incredible though. Yeah.
Oh gosh, what a talent.
And timeless as well.
Mm. And to this day, there's still so many of his songs that get sampled in modern day music. So
yeah. Because people want to be sexy.
Uh-huh.
To think that he died like in 1984, but his music is still like just a good time. Hey, in more ways than one.
It's true, new people keep rediscovering it. Back of the messages, Graham. Graham, I gotta say, Graham, I like you. Please message in more. Graham says, truth is like poetry, and not many people like poetry. Graham, the whole assurance, oversensitivity, sensitivity, all that kind of stuff aside, I do agree with you. I think there are bigger issues in this country. I think people often get sidelined by these small things. But in that, everyone then has their own right to bitch about stuff. But yeah, keep your insights coming. It's always nice to get a lot of balance in this show.
And right. Also, can I just remind everyone that it's okay if we disagree at times?
Yes.
Like, we don't all have to have the same point of view.
Fantastic,
and,
yeah.
Like, that's perfectly fine.
And your truth is not my truth in
some
cases.
No, I mean, it's perfectly fine for us to disagree.
Hey. And your truth can often make my truth better.
What?
I'm sorry. These now just sounds like, they just sound like taglines.
Yeah, guys, look.
That are going to be attached onto some product that somebody tries to sell.
And then next thing, there's a commercial that comes out that doesn't work.
Your truth is better than my truth, but our truths
are. They better help be representation of races in the advert. I'm not having just white people using that line. I'll say it right here, right now.
Well, there we go.
Okay, well, then, Sia, you start working on the Zulu translation. I'll work on the Sotho one.
Iqiniso lami.
Okay. Wabona. Yeah.
Great. Nailed it.
You see how quickly we solved that.
Sia, why is your sister here today?
because she's cool like that and she's chin-chilling with me for the day. You're going to put her on the spot.
Better question. Why is she not in the studio right here answering awkward questions about you?
Okay, let's do it because now you've brought it up. You can bring her in.
She's shaking her head.
No, I knew it. I knew she won't want to say anything. But fine, for 2 seconds. Palesa,
okay, work on this. The next 20 minutes. Sia, what's your sister's name?
Zandile.
Okay, Zandile, you will be in here soon.
She's an amazing sister. Into it. And she just wanted to spend some time with me. Little did she know. Now you're like trying to twist her arm. There's nothing saucy that you'll find. I'm an amazing brother.
Oh, okay.
Excuse me?
You're laid on thick. Okay. Lay it on.
I am an amazing brother. I have been nothing but kindness and love to any and everyone. Even though you guys might doubt that, you know, she'll be able to tell you the truth about it, actually.
Okay, well, look, I wasn't prepared for this, but I think we all need to know what Sia is really like at home. Because, you know, we always have these stories that Sia's like, oh, and then my sister did this, and then my mother did this, and then you don't believe my father did. Okay, so we're all coming in here.
Yay!
Yeah. All right, you can take this microphone over here.
She's just like, what did I get myself into right now?
It's like a guest of the week.
There you go.
All right, so.
You two haven't met.
I don't think we have. Hi, I'm Ben.
Hi, Ben. I'm Zandile.
Hi, Zandile. It's lovely to meet you.
That husky tone.
This is so strange. It's like Sia and then female Sia. This is like Inception moment.
Say the prettier version.
Well, I was going to say that, but I don't want to hit on you in front of Sia.
This Sia, is getting awkward.
See, this is where the aggression. Like, Sia's quite aggressive, actually. I don't want the side coming out.
He gets it from me.
Okay. Same. So you older, I take it.
Yes, I am.
Okay. Now, have you guys got along before, or was it just as you get older, things were easier?
We've always gotten along. I've teased him all his life.
Yeah.
I've bullied him all his life.
Okay. Exactly. Now, Sia, do you have two sisters?
Three
sisters. Okay. Mm. Cause now there's various stories and maybe I didn't listen that well, but there's always stories like my sister this, my sister that. So
all the bad stories is not me.
Okay. So do you have the tall, thin boyfriend that Sia orders around?
Oh, no. That's yours. But you do have a tall, great boyfriend.
Yeah, he's tall, buff. Mm. He could sit on everyone.
Okay, tall, buff. Tall, buff. And then did Sia approve of this before? Did he say, okay, yes. So he has to vet the boyfriends. This is how it works.
Yeah. But he's amazing.
You actually did give me a test with him, though.
Yeah, he's an amazing
And then guy. He passed the test, so that's why we approved.
But I did find out outside that you basically live in three cities.
Yeah.
So just explain why that is.
Because I work in Cape Town, my boyfriend's in Joburg, and my daughter's in Durban. So my heart is split between three cities.
That's incredible.
And then sometimes when she finds time, you know, she sees me, you know, because I'm not a priority.
No, you're not. You're actually not a priority.
Oh, thanks. I feel so loved right now. Okay, now really
Zandile, you need to give us some insights into Sia's actual love life here. Again, we pick up snippets, but, you know, would you say Sia is good at dating or he's a bit haphazard?
What?
No. He's a terrible human being.
I am a great companion.
Would you say he has good choice in partners?
Shallow choice, yes.
Oh!
No. I have never told you about anyone seriously. It's just, if it is, it's like a little dinner situation and that's all. Why can't I be now? Like, it's not important.
True.
Thank you.
Live your best.
Exactly.
See? Okay, so is this your favorite sister?
Yes.
Yes, you are.
I'm the most
especially
normal.
That she hit me.
I'm funny.
Uh-huh. And you're also modest.
Yes.
Very modest.
Yes.
Yeah. See, I'm an open book, guys. You are never going to this is awkward.
What? Who? Who's that now?
This is a message from my ex. But anyway, let's move fast.
Who's listening to this conversation right now?
I don't know. So that's why now.
All right. Okay. Thank you. Zandile, thank you so much for your insights on that. I do have a few more questions, but I'll wait for them a little bit later. Because I think right now Sia's on the defensive.
No, I really think I'm an open book and she proves that and I am not emotionally scarred.
Yeah, you're shallow, okay? It's just been proven again how shallow you are. You need to be okay with this. Okay. So earlier on, Gareth spoke about the media He spoke about fake news. He spoke about people sensationalizing stories, and that's why he is over in Germany. I found this really great clip yesterday about the fact that maybe we shouldn't be indulging all the bullshit that's out there right now. So before we get into some more stories with Sia and Mubs, maybe some more insights into Sia as a person, it's quite a lengthy clip here. There's a guy called Ezra Klein, and I just think this guy hits the nail on the head. And Graham, you might enjoy this too, seeing as Graham is our truth bomber on the side. I'm just going to play this clip. It's very, very interesting, so do pay attention.
Late-night comedians have become rock stars in the Trump era.
I just think so soft. Wait, hang on a second. Let me start that again. Up again. Yeah.
Are we having auxiliary cable issues again?
Yes, we are, Mubs. Well spotted, but hey. At least someone's on my side here. Okay, here we go. This is the clip. It's very, very interesting.
Late-night comedians have become rock stars in the Trump era.
He's treating the Chancellor of Germany like a drunk guy masturbating in a subway car.
Between Samantha Bee, John Oliver, Colbert, Myers, SNL, comedians are playing a big part in how we talk about politics.
Trump does have a tendency to lie his ass off. That's why Chris Christie is always there to catch it.
But if you look past the jokes and sight gags, these comedians are doing a really good job of covering Trump, sometimes better than serious news networks.
Nice misdirection, Chris Angel, but you can't just shake your keys and distract us. We're not cable news, we're Americans.
And that's because political satire has something that TV news lacks, a really low tolerance for bullshit. Part of what makes Trump such an easy target for satire is that a lot of what he says is ridiculous.
I know more about ISIS than the generals do.
That makes him a goldmine for political comedians.
How low has President Obama gone to tap my phones?
But it poses a real challenge for traditional journalists who aren't used to covering someone like Trump.
The news media sort of seems like it has to take it seriously in order to be taken seriously.
This is Sophia McLennan. She's written a couple of books about how political satire makes us smarter news consumers. And she argues that part of why satire is better at covering Trump is that traditional journalists don't always know when to call bullshit. Look at what happened after Trump tweeted that Obama had wiretapped his phones at Trump Tower. Comedians all covered it basically the same way. They said it was baseless.
Trump has not produced a shred of evidence.
There is no evidence for Trump's claims.
Pointed out that it came from a fringe conspiracy theorist.
A doolally radio host.
Right-wing radio host and unlicensed gynecologist Mark Levin.
And then made clear how bonkers this whole thing was.
The craziest thing about Trump calling for an investigation without any evidence is that it actually worked. Congress is going to investigate Trump's wiretapping claim.
Now compare that to the way that major news networks covered that same story. They correctly reported that Trump's claim was false.
No facts to back up his startling allegation.
But then went on to spend segment after segment after segment hosting debates about it.
But Jeffrey,
that's not
Warren,
a fact,
the facts, the facts.
The guy's a professional liar. You don't have to touch me.
They interviewed intelligence experts and government officials.
What did you think when you first heard about it?
They argued with paid Trump supporters about basic reality.
Andre, read the story. That's not what it said.
It would be included in the definition of wiretap.
That's not what he said.
Those stories said
it is.
Maggie, no, it is not.
They spent hours fixating on whether there might be evidence at some point down the road, maybe, that shows Trump wasn't just making it up.
Look, I think he is going off of information that he's seen that has led him to believe that this is a very real potential. And if it is, if this happened,
the problem with this kind of coverage isn't that it's inaccurate. It's that it takes bullshit way too seriously.
There could be something that comes out in 2 weeks, and if there is, we're having a different conversation.
It'd be like hosting a serious debate about whether the earth is flat, or whether Celine Dion can sing, or whether I wear underwear on recording days.
Dude.
It gets really hot in here. And research shows this kind of coverage rots our brains. When we watch these kinds of he said, she said debates, we're less likely to think that we can figure out the truth. We get disillusioned, our brains check out. And this can happen even when a news outlet tells you one side is wrong. The mere repetition of rumors and falsehoods makes audiences more likely to see those things as credible.
I don't think that they...
Okay, it's a very, very long clip, but you see where it's going with that. There is just so much bullshit that is stagnating our brains that eventually we become quite stupid towards all this stuff.
Okay, so I don't understand why he's comparing news networks to entertainment shows? Don't they serve a different purpose?
Well, it's about the one has the credibility and the integrity to call bullshit for what it is, while the other ones entertain it to the point that they, like the woman said, they take things seriously in order for themselves to be taken seriously. So even if it's something as stupid and baseless as the whole wiretapping thing, right? Mm-hmm. The comedians are cutting straight to the point going, that's bullshit, Trump's lying. CNN, all the other big networks, they have to humor this, okay? And these pointless news debates, how many times have we seen, especially in American TV, right? They have these debate panels.
The round tables, and the debriefing.
It's like watching The View without any entertainment or drama or scandal or content.
Well, I suppose it's because a lot of it is driven by the network's point of view. So, for example, we know that Fox News, you know, will hardly ever call bullshit on anything that Trump does because they kind of like him. And then CNN are always looking for stories to, you know, throw in his face to make it seem like he's this terrible, terrible person. So I suppose all that stuff comes into play as well.
But like, you know, we've often had these things on the show where we've seen people and we ask them for their opinion. They know nothing about something, but they will give their opinion anyway because they feel they have to be part of the conversation.
Yeah.
And this is exactly what's happening here. I mean, I sort of replay this little segment here where this woman, who is just the best example of this. I mean, listen to this woman. She talks about...
The problem with this kind of coverage isn't that it's inaccurate. It's that it takes bullshit way too seriously.
There could be something that comes out in 2 weeks, and if there is, we're having a different conversation.
It'd be like hosting a series...
There's absolutely no fact there. There could be something that comes out of this, and if there is, we'll have a different conversation. Okay, cool. So next week, I could be a billionaire, and then you know what? Maybe I'll be more of eligible as a bachelor. There's a lot of ifs and coulds and all this kind of shit, but it's baseless. There's nothing there. And how many times do we indulge everything in this country about the press? Talking about agendas, Mubs. So whether you are pro-ANC, anti-ANC, whatever it may be, we indulge every single thing that gets thrown out there. Judas Malema went on a tirade a few years back when he was just talking shit. But every single time he spoke, people then engaged in it. And then eventually all these different rhetorics come through and people then have it into their narratives.
But you see, also depending on what your point of view is as the person receiving the news, some stories you will indulge, others you'll immediately throw out because you feel that they have absolutely no relevance to your standpoint.
But it's just funny how in the past it would be news networks only. Mm-hmm. They would be the be all end all. That's how you got the news. And you would sit there and go, okay, yeah. Now, with this whole satire coming through, and this is why, again, it goes back to free speech. This is why Gareth's obviously in Germany this week. He's meeting people, having discussions and panels around this, is that with satire, with these late night shows, whatever their agendas may be perceived to be, at least they're cutting to the chase a lot of things.
Hey, it's cutting to the chase, and it's also giving us some sort of way to breathe easier with so much going on, with so much crap and heaviness going on. At least you need something to just go, okay, we can laugh for another day. Let's see, let's bear through it.
And also not be so scared that you can actually laugh about something. So when stuff does come out, you can say bullshit and laugh rather than going, well, I guess I got to respect that. Because then your brain stops working and then all this junk gets in there and then you're just nothing but a lame patsy on the side who just agrees with everything.
But you don't have to respect... You don't have to.
I know, but if mainstream news and all the crap that they indulge you with becomes your norm, then you end up doing it purely by like just overload to the senses.
Yeah, well then we all need to toughen up.
Well, I know that, but buddy, but just general population.
It's like in general, gotta toughen up.
Then we all need to toughen up.
Because it's interesting who comes out of the woodworks and who these news networks get to speak as well. Because recently now that the First Lady Melania Trump has actually moved into the White House, they've had one of the news networks got a body language expert.
Now, why? You see,
when we all know the
bullshit.
Truth.
But this is such a waste, though.
Like, even if we weren't experts, we can tell exactly what's going on there. So, a body language expert by the name of Susan Constantine thinks that whatever the first couple of America may have had in the past has definitely evaporated by now. We've seen it with the hand swat. We've seen it just awkwardly. Especially she goes on to also point out that in the beginning, while Trump was still on the campaign trail, if he said something that would land him in hot water, Melania would be there, you know, would stand up, would, you know, release some sort of statement. And now she's just like, no, actually keeping quiet. Cause like, guys, come on. Otherwise she's be speaking all the time as well, though. But the Susan says on Melania, I think she's a very unhappy person, and I think their marriage is in deep, deep trouble.
She's Eastern European. That's a facial expression all of her people have.
No, but that's what you get for being married to a little cheese curl. She says, you can see that this is all show and there's no connection. I just cannot imagine that these two are going to stay married. Hello. She has like a money. She's going to stay.
I'm sorry. Susan, what's her?
Susan Constantine. She's a body language expert. By the way, she's summing all of this up based on seeing their interaction together as a couple.
You know what? That's perfectly fine. Yeah. If it is true, Susan, that is perfectly fine. My question is, why is it newsworthy? If Melania Trump is unhappy, that is, give or take, 8 out of 10 wives in any marriage for at least 100 days of the year. And so, why is this newsworthy?
Because this is
that makes her a true American if she's unhappy with her husband.
That's 8 out of 10 wives in any marriage.
The same couple when they went to Italy and CNN devoted a whole entire 15-minute segment on her outfit.
Well, maybe this is another thing that this body therapist didn't actually see, but there was an article that was getting a lot of attention last week. Have you seen Melania's dad?
No.
Could be Trump's dad. They look so identical. So while we all mull over this, Google Melania Trump's dad, okay? You'll see articles where they're literally Donald is standing next to him and they look like golf buddies. As in, they look a little too similar. So this whole thing, you know, people go for different types. Melania maybe isn't the dad type.
I see it.
Victor.
Oh, I see.
Similar, huh?
And if you just squint a bit,
they
you
look
see it
very,
all.
Very similar. Similar mannerisms, quite thick set men, decent hair.
And how convenient that the top Google images have them side by side.
Exactly.
So that they can just further push the effect that they look so similar.
Oh, no. We need to find out more about Victor.
But do you think. This is gross. Do you think Victor is older than Trump or younger than Trump?
Probably younger.
I would not be surprised.
That's the next search. Victor's age.
Oh, that is so disgusting.
Guess what? Donald's 73, I think.
Oh, so Victor's daughter's husband is older than him.
Victor's older than Trump by 2 years.
Sure.
Ooh.
Okay, that's a relief.
Okay, that's fine. 2 years is just score two. Gotta pass there.
That's like knowing that your daughter is having sex with like a man your age. She could have been having sex with one of your boys.
Absolutely. Oh, this is a lot.
But
silver lining, Melania's mother looks gorgeous for her age as well. So no, you know, brain power necessary there. So Melania has great years ahead of her.
Okay, so just leave Melania alone. That's what we're getting at here.
Shame.
So, okay, another story that happened last week that I wanted to kind of bring up, I didn't have time yesterday, was the biggest Twitter celebs in the whole world. Someone has gone over the 100 million follower number, right?
Right.
Okay, now you guys probably know the answer, but any guesses? Our special guest today is Ndile. How about you guess?
Is it Kim Kardashian?
No, Kim Kardashian is number 12 on the list.
What?
Oh, yeah. Do we know what her following is? Does it say what?
Kim Kardashian, she's got 53,738,730, the last count.
That is almost the population of South Africa, because we're what, 55 million, right?
Yeah, spot on. Very smart, Sia. Amanda, you want to hazard a guess there? Most followed person on Twitter? Gonna need a slightly snappier answer.
Is it not a Kardashian at all?
No, none of the Kardashians even feature in the top 10.
What?
Shit.
Well,
I know, I'm as shocked as you are. Really kept me up at night.
I know this, so
yeah,
that's
it really shouldn't be Trump.
It's not Trump.
Okay.
Palesa. No, nothing.
Not even a guess.
It's Katy Perry.
Wow.
Katy Perry. Yeah, so who would have thought that she would have the most followers? She's got over 100 million Twitter followers. And second is Justin Bieber on 96 something. Third, Barack Obama.
Oh.
Fourth is Taylor Swift. And then Rihanna, she is in 5. Ellen DeGeneres is 6th. YouTube, the channel, is 7th. Lady Gaga, she is 8th. Justin Timberlake at 9, and Twitter itself is at 10. Oh, okay. Who follows Twitter? Why do you need to follow Twitter?
Yeah, I don't
and
follow
YouTube
Twitter.
As well. Why would you follow YouTube?
Why do you follow social media sites? That's ridiculous. But I tell you what is ridiculous is that Britney Spears has more Twitter followers than Kim Kardashian.
Really?
That I would not have expected. Way.
I am absolutely outraged.
Well, probably the numbers are sort of swapped on Instagram, though.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah. Amanda, you're not surprised by this.
No, I mean, Britney Spears is perfect. So.
Okay.
Oh, Kim's lame.
There oh, you so you see, there you go.
This is the girl who walks in here with a waft of any sort of Britney Spears perfume every single day. So let's not be surprised.
Amanda, you know that Britney and I are the exact same age, born on the same day and the same year.
On the 2nd of December.
Jeepers, you are the biggest Britney fan.
No, my brother's born on the 2nd of December, so I know Nelly Furtado, Britney, my brother, and you.
And me, what a day. Yeah. Huh?
And my boyfriend.
Good day.
Oh. Look at the country.
No, wait, what is
look
this?
Look at like, the small world.
9 months before, what was so special?
It's March.
Just after Valentine's Day.
Yeah, see, like, the strange thing is, I know a lot of people born the same day. It's a very special day, or common, or where they look at it. Okay, so now going into South Africa, the most Twitter followers there, any guesses?
Scholarpad
does not top the list.
Doesn't. No, unfortunately not.
Okay, well, let's start from 10 going backwards. Uh-huh. 10th biggest Twitter following in South Africa is?
I'll have to guess it's at least like a cricket player, like AB de Villiers.
It's not a sports person. It is Gareth Cliff.
Oh, okay. Oh,
Gareth Cliff is the 10th highest. Number 9, Minetle de Dlamini.
Who? I'm sorry, what?
Mini Dlamini. Number 8, Supersport. Then Bonang is number 7. Number 6 is News 24. Number 5 is Kevin Peterson. Number 4, AB de Villiers. Casper Lee is number 3.
All right, guys, some of these people are honorary South Africans.
Yeah, exactly.
Now. Like, we can't count anymore.
Troye Sivan, he's number 2.
Also can't count.
Yeah. And the highest is obviously Trevor Noah.
Can we count Trevor. Him? So, yeah?
No.
We can't.
Yeah, all of these, like, top number 3 onwards.
Yeah, he's got almost 7 million followers. So, basically, so that's your top 10 most influential people on Twitter in South Africa itself.
Hmm.
Quite a few over the million. So that means basically breaks down to 25 South African, essentially, profiles over a million followers. Pearl Tusi is number 25. Pearl Tusi has less followers than Hashim Amla. How big is cricket in this country? Hashim Amla, do you think Hashim Amla ever tweets by himself?
I don't think
he's ever tweeted in his life.
I have no idea.
Is Kevin, I know he's a sports star, Kevin Peterson. Yeah, I don't know what.
He's a
cricket player
who was born here, then he went to England, obviously, because all of India and Pakistan love him. So he's got 3.3 million. And then AB de Villiers, because India loves him, 4.3 million followers.
See, that's the cornerstone.
Get India to love you.
I need to be an Indian star.
So like a billion people there that will love you, Sia.
Yeah.
I'm not sure for what yet.
I'm not sure.
That's what we're going to do. We've got to sell Scholarpad to India.
We've got to sell her to India.
Then she would get that reality show that she wants.
Look, she could perform. She could perform at Indian weddings. They're a very grand and big, you know, display. Indian weddings. She says that nobody wants to hire
thigh for an Indian wedding. I think
they say that. Maybe then less thigh and more stomach. Like she could show the stomach because, you know, with the two-piece saris, you're allowed to do that.
Yeah.
Because she says that nobody will hire her at home to perform. So then let's export her to India and she can perform at weddings.
Speaking of India, somebody was arrested there recently for an edited image of the Indian Prime Minister. Now, the image wasn't obviously very flattering. Mm-hmm. And guess who got arrested?
The editor.
The group admin of the WhatsApp group.
Huh. Whoa!
So yesterday we were talking about this, right? We're talking about these images and how you can fall foul of the law. Well, you know, Emma Sadler is like social media law.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like,
she's the business.
Like the Harvey Specter of social media law here in South Africa. And so, you know, WhatsApp groups, because we spoke about that YouTube star with the child pornography yesterday.
Yes.
Austin Jones.
And we're speaking about, if you missed it on the podcast, about how if you are circulating these images, who's liable for this kind of stuff. So now, if you're an admin of a WhatsApp group and someone's putting some dodgy pictures together, you are actually liable. You could be liable and you could be arrested for such a thing.
Whoa. Okay. That's very detailed.
Sorry, comrades.
When you think of what goes through.
I'm the admin of our group, so.
So you need to keep a tight watch on what my buddy's sending you.
Go into my nude stash here.
Yeah, I just think we got
Oh, but none of them are of underage children, so we're fine.
I should hope not, because you got on your phone very quickly there.
No, it's fine if you share images of adults.
Yeah.
It's only when it's of underage children that you're committing the crime.
So what did this admin, the group admin, get? What sort of sentencing?
So yeah.
Do we know? Or are they still going to trial?
Look, they've been arrested. They haven't been sentenced just yet, from what I understand. But what Emma Sadler was saying yesterday, she's been doing some interviews around this, and that basically South African law treats a WhatsApp administrator as if they're like an editor of a newspaper. So therefore, you're responsible for the content on his pages, which kind of makes sense, right? Because ultimately, you are putting something out there that people are seeing, consuming, and taking in, and ultimately then having the ability to circulate themselves. So if you're producing anything nowadays, because we all think that we're doing things on the internet, we're doing things on our phone, everything's kind of cool. But if you're sending stuff that's kind of illegal, let's go back to yesterday's example, underage porn.
Yeah.
Mm.
So if you're in a WhatsApp group, you don't know what child people are spreading these things.
Being the WhatsApp group administrator just became a high-risk job.
Yeah, I mean, we saw it, like, was it last year? That woman, Margaret, when her beaver got on there by mistake.
Yeah,
which she put on there, right?
Yeah.
Like, she was the one that sent
which
the picture
fine,
of herself.
Which is totally fine. But, I mean, things like that can happen. So there's a chance you can go to jail for such things.
But this is when I'm starting to see that social media isn't this far off aspect of our lives, and it's so integrated into what we do, and we should all start viewing it in that manner. Because a couple of weeks ago there was a story around these high schoolers in America who were accepted into Harvard, and so they were doing like this orientation thing. They met up beforehand, I think they're before their schooling year. They'd all met up together and they were like chatting, and they were able to like swap each other's contact details. So they started this chat group, and I'm not sure if it's on, you know, text or on Facebook, but within this group they started sending all these these pictures and memes around. Some of them had some sort of racial connotations and slurs in it, and somehow that was leaked, and Harvard found out about it, and they were like, actually, all of y'all, now your admission has been revoked, and so they are now not going to Harvard. So you think about that, Harvard, such an institution, making such a grand decision just based on social media. You now see like, hey, y'all ain't getting a peep or poop out of me no more. Just like a
well,
so you guys, this is why cat memes. I keep telling you, you're safe with cat memes.
Yeah, you see, Ben, there I am going to. There I will agree with you, because the guiding phrase that Emma Sadler always refers to is, if you wouldn't print it on a billboard that stands on the road for everyone to see, don't post it, don't share it. Don't tweet it, don't WhatsApp it, don't, like, if you wouldn't be able to stand by it on a billboard with everybody seeing it, then just don't send it. It's as simple as that.
But I'm pretty certain if, like, we all went through our top 10 last conversations, there was something there that would make you go, eek, like a little cringe and a little...
Yeah.
Oh, man.
No, I mean, it's not going to stop us. No, it's not going to stop us.
It's not going to change anything.
Exactly. Well, you shouldn't smoke or drink either, but that's not going to stop us.
I mean, come on. We're still paying syntax. Another big story coming out of America, which essentially has the country outraged at this stage, is the death of an American student who was held in North Korea for 15 months, who arrived back home on American soil and then died several days later after being released from detainment because he had been in a coma. Otto Wombia, who's 22 years old, he was returned to home soil last week. He had been sentenced to 15 years hard labor because he tried to steal a propaganda sign from a hotel in North Korea in 2015.
Is there any other kind of labor in North Korea? I'm guessing it's hard or hard.
Yeah. There's hard or harder, and between the two, though, you're screwed either way. So that was his crime. He tried to steal a propaganda sign from a hotel. He was sentenced to 15 years hard labor. He was detained for 15 months, sent back home last week, arrived home, and now he is no longer. Now, according to North Korean officials, they say that he contracted botulism and the illness led to the coma. But a team of American doctors dispute those claims. And so now there is essentially this big fight between America and North Korea.
What is botulism?
Sounds so dangerous.
It doesn't involve your body.
I'm going to have to do it.
I think it has, it's a bad cough. It's when stones get into your lungs. Botulism.
It's a toxin produced by the bacterium Clostridium botulinum.
Yes.
Botulinum. it begins with weakness. You have trouble seeing. You feel tired. You have trouble speaking. And then it is followed by weakness in your muscles, your arms, your chest, your legs. The disease does not usually affect consciousness or cause fever. So, I mean, yeah, a lot of the symptoms that this 22-year-old distributed are exactly similar to botulism. He got home and he was weak. At one point, he wasn't able to speak. He had difficulty seeing. So the symptoms fit, but the American doctors are saying that was not the cause of his death. So, oh boy, North Korea. Ugh. I mean, really.
See, that's... But he still would have been sick if he still was in North Korea. Or is this something that was maybe, you know, ignited even further with the transit back to America? But you...
I mean, I think the outrage probably began 15 months ago when he was detained. I imagine a lot of people would have said, but... I'm sorry, does the punishment fit the crime? He stole a sign from a hotel. He didn't pull out a gun and shoot at someone. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but it is North Korea, exactly. Yeah.
Exactly. It is North Korea, and nobody gets to tell North Korea how they do things in North Korea. They don't care what you think.
And I cannot imagine what his family is going through when, you know, your 22-year-old loved one has been detained for all this time and finally is free. But he only comes home for, what, 2-3 days? Man.
And then he dies.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's rough, eh? Jared on the messages says that the Russians have a saying, laughing for no reason is a sign of stupidity. So that's probably why Melania's always got the resting bitch face syndrome.
Because she's smart.
Doesn't want to be seen as being stupid.
Mm. Okay.
Hey, I just wish her luck. Just like,
she also smiles give you wrinkles. Look at me, I smile a lot. My face looks like a Sharpay.
Okay, Halle Berry. Like, what's this? Like,
Melania looks so good because she doesn't smile.
Do you know that she's going to stick it through? Of course, they probably don't even sleep in the same bed. But oh well, you know, she just wants to see one term through. And hopefully Trump will get it out of his system as well.
Melania is fine. She is living a high-quality life. She doesn't have to see her husband for now 95% of the time because he's been kept busy by presidential stuff. Mm. That's a win where you don't have to put up with your husband.
On some more pressing news, Jada Pinkett Smith is not happy how her and relationship with Tupac is being portrayed in the movie All Eyes on Me.
So there's a new Tupac biopic.
Yeah, okay. So this whole problem with these biopics is that they are normally quite shite because you get a certain understanding, you get a certain sort of intel from people,
yes,
and then you make something on the back of it. But then the people themselves come out and say, that's not how it was. And so Tupac was friends with Jada Pinkett Smith before Will Smith murdered him. And they had some interesting relationships in that they were kind of like brother and sister. They did hook up once, but it felt like weird, so they just remained friends. And basically, Jada Pinkett Smith saying, none of this is true. It's all a big sham. And the entire production's been slammed, basically.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, someone of Tupac, it must have been a great story. But who's giving you the information?
Mm. Sources are important.
Sources are important. The truth will never come out as to how he died, Will Smith. But
you know what, Ben? At the very least, you could say allegedly.
Mm.
What? I didn't say anything.
Ben never likes that word.
He
just calls it as it is. Yeah, with biopics, though, you never get everyone in the camp totally agreeing, you know, on something, unless it is a state where, you know, the family doesn't have any money. So knock, knock onto Prince's family. They'll probably want to release something soon. You know, but you look at, for example, the Michael Jackson biopic that came out recently, the family wasn't keen there. So, you know, Jada as well, she, you know, rightfully so. But heck, the movie itself has been doing great. It raked in like $27.1 million in its debut weekend alone. And hey, sidebar, the actor who plays Tupac looks just like him. So
yeah, people are saying that the actor's done a good job, but also it has not been confirmed that Will Smith went to watch the movie for obvious reasons.
Okay. All right.
What are those obvious reasons again?
Yeah, Ben? Just remind us.
Well, guys, I mean,
no, really, no, remind us.
We need to know. We all join the dots for this stage.
Remind us what your theory is.
Tupac's career, where it was going.
Yeah.
Will Smith, who was he? He was getting jiggy with it. That's all he was doing.
Yeah.
Tupac was like, Tupac was the star. He was going to be that transitional rapper / actor.
Yes.
Will Smith was just basically trying to just suck all the talent out of DJ Jazzy Jeff.
Right.
And so then decided. Tupac died, and then where's Will Smith's career go from there?
Oh, it skyrocketed.
Skyrocketed.
Oh, okay.
So there's a little gap in there. You guys can do whatever you want.
So Tupac was the human sacrifice.
Basically, according to Ben.
Your sister needs to come back because she's smart. She's got the look. She's got the brains.
But there is also the understanding with biopics, whatever.
You said that word with the B, so we'll excuse you for the rest of the day.
So there is always an element of dramatizing these stories, right?
Sure.
So then why do people get upset when certain parts of the story are not exactly true? They dramatize certain events in the story, and they do that because they want to attract audiences.
Yeah, I guess.
And they want to excite the audience.
I guess, but Jada Pinkett Smith, not excited.
Okay.
But more so, I guess, it's because it is a personal thing. Like, you know, the world just lost Tupac, a rap star, this pop culture icon. It's great and you can reminisce, even if it does have dramatic notes. But when you do boil it down, and I'm not trying to over-sensationalize the entire thing, but someone lost a brother or someone lost a cousin, and then you see them being depicted in a way that's not accurate. I guess you are entitled to get some way and in some sort of form riled up, I guess.
Yeah, it's like when I watched Invictus and I thought how crap that was.
Yeah, the South African accent and.
And the storytelling, and it was silly.
What has been like a good biopic or like a good representation
of someone's life? Exactly, you don't really know. So at the moment, Danielle and I are watching The Crown, which is great because it's all about Lizzie becoming the queen.
I should get in on that.
And Philip on the side, just getting hammered. All Philip does, he just gets hammered with this mate of his and just basically pouts a lot because he can't get his own way and because he becomes basically a bit of a house bitch.
Yeah.
And he battles to deal with that. But the show is really good. So it's a Netflix show, and it starts off with the King George dying. His name actually wasn't George. It was David, I think it was. No, that was someone else.
Yeah.
Anyway, because it's not actually, you assume the title of King George, even though your name might be Rudolph, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So the story starts with the Queen getting into that. So to your point about, you know, what's accurate, there's some very interesting conversations that she has with very interesting people along the times, because the Queen didn't actually have any sort of education. They were all homeschooled, these royals, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they were taught about the Constitution and why they are so important. And they get their heads filled with all this kind of stuff.
Mm.
I'd love to know how true all these things were. I mean, she can understand a few European languages. She knows what to talk about with the Prime Minister, but she's very sort of basic on the whole world affairs and general intelligence stuff.
Also,
she then gets a tutor just to kind of get more intellect.
Also because, you know, they would have grown up in a bubble. So they know very little about how the real world works. Because they're kind of sheltered from all that stuff. Yeah.
It's a really good show. If you like Downton Abbey, I mean, who doesn't? Then it's kind of back on another level. So it's bigger, it's grander. Characters are less slutty, but, you know, each to their own. But it's very interesting, like, this whole world. Like, I want to go right back. So Gareth will obviously know about this because this is his thing.
Mm-hmm.
But this royal family, right? They weren't shot out of the arse of a god and came down with a lightning bolt. Mm. There were people who were pooing the field like anyone else back in those days. And suddenly they became royal. And
then they became better than everyone around
them. Exactly.
Such bullshit.
And all this pomp and ceremony around them.
Yeah.
They, like, that's smart. Like, people always go on about the Guptas. They're smart. They're getting what they want. Same with these royals over the years. This family took the world.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? I'm not going to hate that, Shem. If you can walk into a situation and maximize on the opportunity that's available to you so that you're able to get ahead, then you are able to do something that the rest of us couldn't.
Yet want to. But this, you should watch the show just for Philip. He looks like an ugly version of Gordon Ramsay, but like his life. So he was this Greek guy. Yeah. And, you know, I reckon these royals are all a bunch of pervs,
He's Greek?
Well, yeah, he's Greek. So these royals all a bunch of pervs. They just want men in uniform like Richard Gere and that Officer and a Gentleman because they're all in the Navy, all right? They don't do anything in war times. But they all have these lovely, like, uniforms with all the bells and whistles.
And then they just, you know, have to become people that just drink tea in the afternoon now. You know, from being in war and living an exciting life. Yeah. And now you have to be like three steps behind.
Yeah. So Lizzie all the time. I agree. I think you should watch that show. On TV shows, I actually got to share with you another show we're watching at the moment is Sex and the City. Again. It's gotta be said. This is one of the most timeless, fantastic shows of all time. It's brilliant.
You didn't expect that, did you? You did not expect that at all.
Okay, so around the studio, who has not seen Sex and the City from start to finish? Or at least a decent chunk of it?
You mean the whole set, the whole box?
The series.
I mean, I might have watched maybe three of the series
enough
in
episodes,
total.
Right? Maybe the movie too.
Yes.
Okay, we're all in agreement.
No. Yes.
I think I watched the movie.
You see, because I like we grew up more on Desperate Housewives.
Yeah.
We're old.
I know, but the thing is, like, I'm watching this now, right?
And Jessica, what is her real name?
Sarah Jessica Parker.
What is her name?
Carrie Bradshaw.
Yeah. Okay, but the reason I bring this up is because it's still good now, right? Because it's the whole thing about women eventually getting the idea that they can also have sex and then not have to be in relationships. Mm. And it's like New York life, and it has not dated. Like MacGyver has dated, right? There's just some guy who's constantly getting in trouble. Like,
yeah.
You know, they can do something with a matchbox. Who cares? But Sex and the City is relevant today, and there's all these great cameos, and it is just such a good show.
You see, I don't disagree with you, Ben, but I'm hearing a lot of people right now saying, Ben, do you really like Sex and the City or do you just watch it because Daniela wants you to watch it?
That's probably what you're thinking.
I'm still trying to understand. What for you resonates or like what do you enjoy? Because your interests as they are, I would totally not pin Sex and the City up there.
How simple humans are is and how we haven't changed. I think this is the key insight of the show, which makes it so great, is that guys want sex for certain reasons. Women want sex for slightly different reasons. Okay. Mm-hmm. And the show was highlighting all that kind of stuff, but there's actually a lot more similarities. And that has never changed. So nowadays we get shows that are talking about a variety of things, but the base desire, interest and conversations around sex really haven't changed. They just become more complicated. That show was so ahead of its time.
I swear.
There was an entire episode about anal sex back in the mid-90s.
Yeah, it was ahead of its time.
How the hell did that go out?
It was very ahead of its time. And I remember when I used to watch it, you know, it was always on so late at night.
Yeah, it had to be.
It had to be. And it was HBO.
Yeah.
And then you'd get that 18 age restriction. Right. And then you'd just get excited because you'd be like, ooh, I wonder what like nasty stuff they're going to make me see today. No, it was a good show for its time. It was definitely ahead.
And I tell you what, you watch certain episodes now, how it still resonates with like day-to-day stuff. It's nice to get reminded about that kind of thing.
So for you, the shopping and the clothes and the shoes and the lunch, they don't bother you?
Well, the thing is, the shopping and the shoes and stuff like that, it's minor, right? The lunch is where the best conversations kind of take place. Mm. And it showcases all the different types of guys out there in the world. It's another thing the show does. It profiles a variety of guys. So while you think, oh, women watch that because they want to think, am I the Samantha? Am I the Charlotte? No, it's you as a guy, you can watch that and think, what kind of dating guy am I in the real world?
May I play the devil's advocate?
Go for it.
Then why don't you watch the Kardashians?
That's not even close. That's just stupid.
That's how? That's mind-numbing.
Mind-numbing
take the lunches
crap.
And the high heels out of it.
You're smarter than this. Stop embarrassing yourself in front of your sister. You're smarter than this.
I'm playing a bit of a devil's advocate.
What
does
the Kardashians do? It showcases a life of people who aren't very interesting, right?
Uh-huh.
Sex and the City is well-scripted, well-written, showcasing a life of a city and what goes around it with certain people playing the main roles.
And the story
And they all talk because they want to talk. They're not talking reluctantly. Like, oh my God, I'm just going to go through my nose most of the day. Oh, so I have to speak again. What does Ryan want me to say?
And the Sex and the City storyline is just, I mean, it's more creative and it's more thought provoking than the Kardashian storyline. Ryan Seacrest? All right, girls. So today we want you to go in and have your vaginas, like have steam blown up your vaginas. That will be your Saturday. Like what is so fascinating about that? That's
the progression of the anal sex episode.
And then all they do is make like nasal noises on the back of that. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, that's maybe, interesting. Look, hey, listen.
Maybe that's overshare from my side, but it's a great show.
This has made my day, literally. Like, I'm done now. We can just wrap things up. That's it. I'm over it. But by the way, before we wrap up for the interview, Tiger Woods, hey? You see how quickly we forget?
Is he in rehab yet?
So he is on his way to rehab, but this is what is interesting for me. Well, I'm not necessarily surprised because this is like the celebrity way of doing things. He's on his way to rehab. So it's all about treating the DUI and, you know, even alcohol wasn't in play for the accident that took place on May the 29th. He's now trying to just be a better person. So he signed up for a 28-day rehab stint.
He's tried that before, just like he's trying to be a pro golfer again.
Ooh, that's some professional technical shade.
Tigers don't change their stripes. You know what the saying is.
So here's the thing. He's now signed up to this Jupiter Medical Center, which is near his Florida mansion. But he has booked off the entire male inpatient unit.
What a dick. Are his needs that big? That's like valuable hospital space if someone actually needs these kind of things.
But on top of it, I get it. Celebrities do that when someone gives birth, they book off the entire hospital, granted. But when we think of him as a person, isn't the entire idea or experience of going to rehab about being with people in similar situations who don't judge things. You and you share experiences and you learn and you grow and you mature as a person? So he'll be there alone.
Like, he needs reality in his life. Booking out an entire hospital wing, that's just going to compound his problems.
I just find it odd. I really think he's... Yeah, didn't his father die prematurely or when he was still in his early 20s or something?
Yeah, his father died probably about, maybe like 10 years ago.
Yeah, he needs someone to give him a little backhand, be like, shape up, like, go
on.
Trust
me, it wasn't coming from his father. That guy went through more prostitutes and brothels than anyone in his genre.
Saucy.
Just get onto the messages here. Ben, your cock called. It wants its balls back. That's from Carl talking about Sex in the City. Ankia says that she recently watched Sex in the City on Showmax and fully agrees with me. Still so relevant and funny and interesting. Another message says, Mubs is right. Ben's trying to score D points. Shut up, Ben. Re-sex in the City. Well, there's a lot of messages here. A lot of messages about me. No, guys, this is the whole thing I was talking about earlier. When you try to take on different things and learn different things, you become better as a person, right? Mm. I'm not trying to be like a kumbaya moment, but like I'm not a finished article. Nobody's a finished article. Yes, of course, Sex in the City is not something that guys would watch normally, but you can learn so much. So why would you just keep watching normal shit or watch the Kardashians when something could teach you something?
Mm. Ben, me, I'm going to defend you here.
Yeah.
And also, you don't need to try and score anything with your lady love. She loves you.
She does.
She loves you.
I'm going to just carry on encouraging these ways because I'm giving you 4 months, then we'll be watching Oprah together. So,
no. Again, you and levels. Why is it with you and crossing lines? Yeah.
Full circle.
Oh, Sia, please work on that.
It's going to happen.
Well, I keep going through the messages of abuse for me. We've got Gareth's interview with Tumisha Masha and his father up in the third hour. So while Gareth is away for this entire week, he is in Germany. So if you follow him on Instagram, you can see all the pictures and all the things he's getting up to. Very interesting stuff. And he will be joining us in the first hour like he has been doing for the rest of the week. If you do want to get in touch with the show, 079-748-2090 on the WhatsApp here in South Africa. Otherwise, clipscentral.com. You'll get all the different podcasts and things like that. We got to get into the next song of my buddies. What songs I may have been conceived to. Okay, I did not say that well. Anyway, so we had Marvin Gaye's Sexual Healing up first, and now a very interesting sort of second guess of what she may have been conceived to. Phil Collins.
Really?
Aptly named You Can't Hurry Love. Mark's Mark's second choice. Tomorrow we're playing the songs that Sia thought he was conceived to. CliffCentral.com